Welcome to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And our special guest in this episode, offensive coordinator Brian Callahan. He runs the gamut. He talks about training camp, talks about working against the Rams and how productive those 2 days of practice were in the final preseason game, and how guys that were trying to win spots in the back end of the roster or the practice squad really stepped up and made some decisions very, very difficult. He also talks about the roster composition as it stands at this point in time. And finally, and most importantly, getting ready to face the Pittsburgh Steelers on the 11th, September 11th at Paycor Stadium. Be there or be square. It's the Steelers. Thanks very much for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. Very special guest today as the Bengals are formulating their roster. 4 o'clock today. It's a final cut down to that 53-man roster. But as everybody knows in the National Football League, during this entire week, there's still some fluidity to the back end of that roster. I mean, there's going to be people out there that people have an interest in, and moves could still be made. But at any rate, you have to start somewhere. How tough is this time of year, Coach? First of all, thanks for joining us. And this obviously is Brian Callahan, offensive coordinator extraordinaire for the Cincinnati Bengals. Not only a great coach, but one heck of a human being.
Thanks.
And how difficult is it having those conversations with players that, you know, their dream is on hold, I guess, is a way to put it at this point in time?
Yeah, it's probably the least enjoyable part of the year. When you got to let guys go, especially guys that have been here since the spring and they put a lot of work in and time in to help make our team better. And so they're part of our team, really kind of no matter what happens to them, whether they're here on the practice squad or they've been released and they sign elsewhere or their football career takes another direction, they go play somewhere else. It's always hard. They still count as part of our team to us. They put a lot of work in to getting better, to making our team better, to making themselves better. And so it's always a really disappointing time of year. You hate to have those conversations. It is part of the business, but it doesn't ever get any easier. You never get used to it. You feel for those guys. They're pouring everything they can into trying to make an NFL team, and it's a lifelong dream for those guys. And to not be able to fulfill it here is tough sometimes. You don't like to have the conversation, and I never lose sight of that. It's always there's always a lot of empathy that goes along with those conversations because you realize how much guys put into it.
Yeah, man, it's such a competitive environment. There's no two ways about it. I mean, this is the best of the best. This is the cream of the cream, as such. And it's very, very difficult. What do you think about how your offense performed during the preseason for you? You didn't play, obviously, starters, but guys that you were trying to formulate the back end of the roster with, and how did they execute for you? How did they handle game plans and then go out in the football field and go out there and perform and adapt if they had to?
I thought it was a really good preseason for us. You know, we had a chance to see a lot of guys play quite a bit of football, starting with the quarterbacks, you know, between Brandon and Jake. They both got quite a bit of reps, live game reps with being live quarterbacks. You know, you get a real feel for what you can get away with in practice versus a game. You know, the ball's got to come out on time and they got to execute and lead our team down to score points. And I thought they both have moments that they shine pretty brightly and prove their worth as NFL quarterbacks. We got a lot of reps of our depth of our O-line, a lot of things to teach off of, a lot of things to improve upon, and a lot of good things that we saw competitively, technically, growth that happened with those guys. So it's a great opportunity to play. You know, you don't get to play a lot during practice where everything's really live and you're going all the way to a tackle. That's always good to see. And then, you know, the receivers get a chance to go catch balls and get contacted and hit, and you get to see if they have play strength and their route detail. I thought we got a lot out of this preseason. It's a great evaluation tool. I don't think it necessarily tells you what kind of team you do or do not have, but I think it tells you what guys are doing and where they're improving and where they can get better. And I think we took full advantage of it.
In the final week of the preseason against the Rams, they came to Cincinnati and you had two practices against the Rams that were at a very good tempo. Then you have the game against the Rams, and the starters basically got a good bit of work in those 2 days. And then guys that were basically trying to make the back end of the roster or practice squad spots, which are highly valuable. There's 16 of them now. Yep. And at some point in time, teams are going to have to dip into those practice squads because, you know, you're going to sustain injuries. Knock on wood, it's not a star player for any lengthy period of time. But those are critical. And guys were really battling in that Rams game. I mean, you had performances from your wide receiver group, Irwin, Lassiter, Pryor. I mean, they all stepped up and said, don't forget about me. It was pretty interesting to watch them.
Yeah, and they all had really moments where they performed really well. And, you know, I think it's a strange thing to say when you're competing, trying to make a team, but all those guys are trying to put their tape out there for the other 31 teams too. And they're trying to show themselves in the best possible light. They're trying to execute and make plays in actual games that, you know, the whole league watches those preseason games. Everybody's scouring everybody else's rosters to see if there's a player available that can improve their particular situation. And for a lot of those guys, they're putting their tape out there, not only just for us to evaluate, but for the rest of the league to evaluate. And you know, the guys that don't make it here, you hope we have a surplus at positions and guys play well, that they're talented enough to make another roster somewhere, which I do believe that. So, you know, that work is invaluable. The tape, the game tape is the experience that those guys need to have. And I thought it was really, really well done overall by all those guys.
Because of, special teams being a big factor at the wide receiver position, for example, Stanley Morgan, you know what Trent Taylor does as a return guy in special teams. Plus that guy now, I don't know, man, something about him. I really, really like that guy's short space quickness and his ability to play slot. And then Mike Thomas. So, I mean, your depth chart that you had, the final depth chart that went out for the Rams, was pretty much chalk. You know, I mean, in terms of guys making the roster, those three guys are such great special teams performers. But Irwin, Lassiter, Pryor, all practice squad candidates. I guess it's just to be determined how many you're going to have an opportunity to bring back, and if they decide to do so.
Yep, and that's what this time of year is, and you hope that we've cultivated enough depth. You know, those guys are valuable special teams players. That's a whole phase of the game that can get stepped over when you're talking about making rosters, when you're just talking about pure, pure playing ability at a particular position. They got to have versatility. When you're in the back of the roster, you only get 46 on game day. So even those guys that make the 53, you know, there's a handful of them that are not going to be active on game day, even though they're on the active roster. So guys that are available for games have to be versatile. They have to play special teams. They have to fill multiple roles because we just don't have enough people on game day to have just specialized guys at every spot. And that's what the roster construction is about. And that's how you get to your final 53. And then those 16 practice squad spots are extremely valuable because, especially now with these, you get these two standard elevations. So when you guys get nicked up, you have guys in the hole ready to go. And they just pop up for the game and they come play and you know them, they're capable. They're developing as they're on the practice squad. I think it's a huge advantage for these young players to have this many spots available to them to continue to improve. And then when they get opportunities, you hope they take advantage of it.
So at the running back position, four on the roster at this point, they're 25 offense, 25 defense, three special teams in terms of specialists. So it's a nice evenly distribution of talent wealth. But that like we're talking about, that can change for a myriad of reasons. I mean, there may be guys out there that you can bring back. You have your final 53-man roster. You can bring somebody off the street as such if they clear waivers and then put somebody on an injured list and they're on for less of a period of time because they're in that final 53-man roster. So, you know, that's another tweak that might go on as you try to determine who's injured for how long and all those things that go along with it. So it's an interesting dynamic right now. But four running backs at this stage, Evans and Williams, both make the football team as we speak based on their performances, and rightfully so. I mean, Evans showed his ability as not only as a runner and a receiver, but as a return guy. And I'll tell you what, Williams, to me, pass protection, blitz pickup, he was solid, really good runs that he had, and he can catch the ball as well. They're pretty darn good, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that we've, you know, at this point have decided to keep Trevion is because he's earned that spot. You know, he's probably one of the more consistent performers over the course of camp amongst all the skill positions, just in terms of every day doing things the right way. He's a good ball carrier. He's improved tremendously in protection. And, you know, he's earned opportunities. And when he's had opportunities, he's played well. And I think that that's an important thing. He's a homegrown player for us, a guy that we've drafted. We've invested a lot of time and resources in to see him improve. And he really has. He's matured. He's grown. Really proud of what he's done and where he's at right now. He's earned himself at least to be in consideration for that spot. And as a ball carrier as well, I think he's proven he can do it.
So your quarterback, Joe Burrow, made it. Big shock there. Brandon Allen makes the football team. Jake Browning, though, I mean, he had a heck of a performance against the Rams, 19 to 24, 173 yards and a touchdown. And the touchdown drive, I mean, 10 for 12, or 63 yards passing and a touchdown. And he had the run for 12 more yards. It was the Jake Browning drive. Is he a practice squad candidate at this point?
Absolutely. You know, and I think Jake has got the ability to compete, you know, in the future as a backup quarterback in this league. He's proven to me that he can do it. He's proven to our organization that he's capable. He throws the ball well. He's really intelligent. I thought his growth from the spring through the preseason, I think he's one of the guys that benefited from being able to play as much as he did and be able to show on tape that he's a capable player at the position. And his intelligence is off the charts. He's probably a guy that'll be coaching at some point in his future. But he performed well. And that's all you can ask for as a quarterback, especially if you're the third guy. He got pushed in because of Joe's appendix into a bunch more reps than he probably would have originally gotten. And he took advantage of it. And he played well, and he did things the way that you want the quarterback to operate in our system. And so they both competed really hard. I think it brought out the best of him and Brandon. And I think that Jake's got he's still got a future as an NFL quarterback.
So your offensive line, that was the big scenario here in terms of a change. 80% of the offensive line is different from a starting position standpoint. Jonah Williams, Cordell Volson at left guard, Karras at center, Alex Kappa, Collins, Elsie at right tackle. And then it's pretty much chalk from a backup standpoint too, or your other lineman that you're going to have that may have to play for you. Jackson Carman, Deontay Smith, Trey Hill, Hakeem Adeniji, Isaiah Prince has got that bicep issue. But your depth chart for the Rams game, it's pretty much chalk. Nobody disrupted any of that, correct?
No, it's going to stay. Those guys are the guys that we were counting on to be our starters and to be our depth pieces and quality backups that you know, as we all know, are likely to have to play at some point over the course of the season. And they did a nice job. And I thought, you know, Deontay had really, really great stretches of practice. You know, he got nicked up early and he's come back. And I thought he had a really good stretch of practices against the Rams. You know, I thought his game performance has been solid. He's had some up and down moments in the games, but I think his practice performance, which is the side that we get to see that no one else really does, that's a huge part of the evaluation too. We don't just leave it to the games only. It's the practice, it's the meetings, it's all those other things. It's a holistic picture that he's done a nice job. And same with Akeem. Akeem's moved positions a little bit. He moved from guard back out to tackle. His key is always going to be his versatility, and he did a nice job picking up the slack at tackle and then really kind of settling in that last preseason game. So Trey Hill has, I think, had a very nice camp. Mm-hmm. For a swing interior player, a guy who can play center and both guards. He's been good and very, very pleased with his progress. So guys that we're counting on, you know, Isaiah obviously got hurt, but he's played a lot of football for us too. And you got to have depth there, and you got to have guys that have some experience, and they got to keep improving. And that's the name of the game for those guys to keep getting better.
The tight end position is another one where, you know, it was competitive. There's some questions there. Hayden Hurst, obvious Drew Sample, saw him running sprints before the Rams game out there in the field. That was good to see him doing that. So figuring a couple of weeks down the road against the Steelers, he should make that dance hopefully. And then on the depth chart, the chalk, Mitchell Wilcox was the number one guy in that third group of guys. Justin Rigg had a pretty strong camp as well. You've seen Thaddeus Moss perform. So where are you? How many tight ends at this point in time? And what are you thinking? If there's somebody out there on the waiver wire, is that a possibility as well?
Yeah, just because of the injuries, you know, Mitch has missed quite a bit of camp. And I was really actually excited to see what he was going to do in the games. He's had a good spring and a good camp up until he got hurt. He really kind of grown and matured and come along quite a bit. He's really happy with Mitch. And then, you know, Drew's injury is hopefully he'll be back for the opener, but you never know with those things. And so depth is always critical. Having guys that are available is important. But yeah, there's a chance that there's guys out there in the world that would fit us. And if there is, I'm sure that Duke and his staff will be all over it. But I do think that Thad Moss had a really good camp. Thad's very reliable. He's tough. He's smart. He's consistent. For all the lack and measurables, he has all those things in spades. And I thought he did a nice job with his opportunity. And Justin Rigg, I think, fits your traditional blocking Y tight end. And it's hard to play tight end in this league, especially as a rookie. And I thought he stepped in. He showed some toughness and physicality in the blocking game. That's a skill set that it's hard to find these days, I think, as you look around the league, everyone's looking for tight ends. And so kind of a nice surprise by Rigg, how he came along over the course of training camp. And he's got a chance to be a good developmental player.
So you think there's a chance that even a couple of tight ends might be practice squad candidates, a couple of offensive linemen might be practice squad candidates, a couple of wide receivers? I mean, guys showed enough to, we may not be on our 53 or, like you said, active 46 game day roster, but we still want to develop them and see what they turn into. And practice squad's a great way to do that.
Absolutely. There's guys at the receiver position that we feel really good about their developmental projection. The tight ends, we're going to have to keep a few in the practice squad just because of the injuries. You're always a little bit leery when you got multiple guys dinged up, and up front on the offensive line as well. You're always dealing with injuries up front. That's always going to be the case just because of the nature of the position. So the more depth you have, the more guys you have working, they're in your system, they're in your meetings, they're hearing your terminology, they're hearing your techniques. And now you got a bunch of guys obviously have invested, some guys multiple years, some guys, it's been a spring and a training camp, but it's still a lot of reps and a lot of time invested into the players that we think can potentially help us at some point this year.
So the opener, still 2 weeks away against the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much during the course of training camp, Coach, have you taken, we're going to take a few minutes of this practice, just to kind of look at things we might want to take a look at from a game plan standpoint against the Steelers and a little start the indoctrination process of what the Steelers do, mm-hmm. introducing what they do defensively to your offense. Have you been slowly building along the entire training camp in that process?
Not really. We've really been focused on getting our work in on our schemes.
Yep.
With the change in the training camp schedule and the preseason schedule, we really gained this extra week, if you will, this particular week. And so yeah. This is the week I've spent 2 days really diving into Pittsburgh. We'll have some introduction to Pittsburgh this week, as far as some, practice periods devoted to them specifically. It's good because they're a division opponent. We're familiar. If they got a new coordinator, there's going to be some changes, I'm sure, to some degree. What those are, we'll find out week one, I think. We won't really know much before then. But, we'll take this week and introduce it. You don't want to burn guys out either. You end up preparing for one game for so long that can get monotonous and you try to do too much. So you just do a little bit, give them a taste, get them acclimated, talk about the personnel, maybe get a little bit of a structure against our scheme against their structure and a limited fashion. And you come back on the game week and try to get in that regular season rhythm that you have for 17 weeks. And so there'll be a slight introduction and we got more time now. So back in the day, you might take a week or two or a practice or two during the middle of training camp and do that. But with this extra week of time, you don't need to do that as much anymore.
There were a little bit of an oddity last year from a defensive standpoint. They finished dead last in the NFL, giving up like 143 yards rushing a game, 5 yards a carry, both dead last in the league. Yet they lead the NFL in sacks 5 straight years now with 50 quarterback sacks. So usually it's like, you can't stop the run. How the heck are you going to rush the passer? But they kind of disproved that theory. They're so great up front with their pass rush. So TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward, They're a problem, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean that's the strength of that's who the Pittsburgh Steelers have been for a long time now, and that's a pretty dominant physical defensive front. TJ is as good an NFL player on defense in the league at any position. That Highsmith has come on and played well for him last year. They got good interior players. Cam Hayward obviously is going to be one of the better defensive tackles to ever play a game. Our friend Larry Ogunjobi's there. We see Larry again. Larry's been a really productive player. They got a good front. They signed Miles Jack. I think they improved their linebacking core between Miles Jack and Spillane and Bush. Those guys are three really good players that can run and hit and cover. And then obviously you got Minka in the back end, and Edmonds was a first round pick. I mean, they got good players across their defense, and so they're not to be taken lightly by any stretch. I mean, they're very capable of being a dominant defense, and they have been. Especially stretches, even last year, they kick people down pretty good. you know, we play well against them, and I'm sure that they're going to be rip-roaring and ready to go come play us here. So there's no love lost there, obviously. And you know, I'm sure they didn't take too kindly to the two games that we put on them last year, and they'll be looking to punch us right back in the mouth, I'm sure. So that's just the way it goes in this division. But, you know, they're good. They're really talented.
Yeah, you're right. They probably have some blood in the eye after the last two games last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Opening with a division opponent, albeit at home, it's not on the road. But what do you think about that? Is, I mean, nothing you can do about it, but do you think it's getting players' attention right away? I mean, we're talking Pittsburgh Steelers. So openers, you never take real lightly anyway, but an opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, everybody's probably like sitting up pretty straight in their seats and paying full attention. And this is some serious stuff here.
Well, it's, you know, it's a divisional game right out the gates. And we all know that the key to winning the Super Bowl is getting in the playoffs. You got to get in the dance first. And the way you get into that is you got to win your division, and you don't leave it up to chance, and you don't leave it up to other teams, and you take full control of it. And by winning your division, you control whether or not you get in the playoffs. And so it's a really critical game for us. It's a home division game that we try to own those. We don't want anybody to come in our place and be able to win, and certainly don't want to give up a division game at home. And so it's a huge start to the season. It gets you off, first of all, 1-0. Second of all, 1-0 in your division. Those are huge things as the season trugs along, is those division wins, and we got to get as many of those as we can.
Like we mentioned, 80% of the offensive line, 4 out of the 5, will have new starters in this opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your 3 wide receivers, in my mind, as good a threesome as there is in the entire National Football League.
I would agree.
And then at the tight end position, you have a new face in Hayden Hurst. Tell us what kind of a training camp Hayden Hurst had.
He's been really good. He's got, with Drew's injury, you know, he had a lot more opportunities to kind of work on the nitty-gritty parts of playing tight end. He was involved a lot in the run game, probably much more in practice than we would ever prefer initially use him over the course of the season as a blocking wide tight end, the way that we use Drew. But it was really good for him to technically get that work in, to bang around a little bit in there, because we know his skill set is in the pass game. He's got legit speed. He's got a really good catch radius, and he's got good size for the position. And so guys want to focus all their energy on trying to keep our receivers in check, then that's going to open up opportunities underneath against linebackers, safeties, in zone coverage for that matter, where he can turn and burn pretty quick and take a 5-yard completion, turn it in the 15 really fast. And so I've been really pleased with his performance. He's integrated well into the group. I think the guys love playing with him. He's got a great demeanor about him. He's tough. He's hard-nosed. He's great for us. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, when I watch him run routes, I mean, he's a pretty precise route runner. He gets in and out of cuts pretty darn well. And, you know, I'm looking at the 3 receiver core and Joe Mixon at running back, you know, and I mean, what are you going to do defensively? I just have a sneaky suspicion that Hayden Hurst is going to, he's going to put up some numbers against some people, and it's going to, all of a sudden, it's going to be like, wow, this is pretty interesting right here. It is. I mean, on a week to week basis, it's you're going to have some fun deciding, you know, how to package people and do different things with people. It seems like, too, you've got so much intelligence in that group that you can line him up in a lot of different places. It's not like he has to line up here. This is the only thing that he can do. We can't overwhelm him mentally. We can put guys in motion. You do a lot of things. Is that a factor with your skill position players as well, that they're almost positionless in terms of being able to adapt to everything mentally?
Yeah, and those are the type of guys we're always looking for, and you don't always find them. They're not all like that. We've just been really fortunate that the 3 guys that we have that play for us in 11 personnel are very, very football smart, great feel for how to play the game and what's asked of them. And so it gives us limitless ability to do whatever we feel like we want to do with them, because they can adapt and adjust, and they remember, and they understand how we're trying to attack people. I think that's part of the benefit of continuity. You know, a lot of these TB's been in the system for 4 years. Joe Mixon's been in the system for 4 years. This is T's 3rd year. It's Joe's 3rd year. I mean, we got guys that have experience and banked reps. And so they very rarely now have to worry about, oh, what does this mean? Or how do I do, what's this play? They know what it all means. Now they get to go play fast and worry about technique and worry about all the different ways we can use them, as opposed to just trying to know what to do. You know, they're way past that stage. And I think that helps your versatility and being able to move guys around.
Yeah, we talked about 5 new starters. but six return. And those six guys, like you said, have been in the system. The head coach and coordinators with this organization have been together for this, you know, for these number of years. The players have been, and the good news is they've been in that system, that, but that's, they're young. I mean, they're still in the prime of their career. It's their first 3 years in the league, or their first 4 years, whatever. That's all they've been exposed to. And how good is that? I mean, how good a situation is that where you can just, you know, you got this nice foundation, you can just start building floors, right?
It's about a great situation as you can ask for, you know, to have that, that kind of young talent play as well as they have as young players, knowing that there's a lot of years ahead of them still. And again, it's, you know, the idea is that these guys will all be Bengals for a long time, and we'll get a chance to really see how fun it is when they're all playing in year eight together. That'd be pretty sweet. You know, these guys that have, you know, you look at the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Drew Brees, guys that have been in the same place for this for extended amounts of time, just how much better they can be, how much more efficient they are in offense. It's like they speak to each other without speaking, you know? And that's the goal. And then we're fortunate enough to have really good young players. So hopefully that's how it trends over the next handful of years.
And when you've got an offensive group of skilled people, quarterback, receivers, tight end, that see defenses through the same eyes, whoo, you can do some serious damage, can't you, Coach? I mean, of course, your quarterback, let's talk about him, Joe Burrow. Obviously, he seems to be on a daily basis showing more and more. And then against the Rams, you know, I see that Joe with those eyes again, you know, he starts moving people with his eyes and creating spaces and putting the ball in tight spots. This guy continues to have answers to the test. I mean, he's so poised. He's so confident. He throws the ball so well. I mean, the sky's the limit, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he's just starting to scratch the surface of how good of a player he can be. And that's probably sounds like a strange thing, but you know, you start banking the experience against all these defensive coordinators, all these defensive structures. And at some point you reach a spot in your career where you've seen all the different things people can do. And so your answers to the test in your mind are so much easier come game day. And now you got a crew of guys that they've all been working together, talking together, seeing the defenses the same, making adjustments the same way. That's how you become a really dynamic offense and a really explosive offense is, you know, all those guys being on the same page all the time with the leverages they're facing, the structure they're seeing. And then obviously Joe, he's got unbelievable natural talent as an accurate passer and a rhythm passer. He throws with great anticipation and he rarely ever misses. And that's a pretty, pretty awesome trait to have as a quarterback.
You know, the thing I've noticed too is the communication, the lines of communication with Joe and his teammates, Joe and the coaches, coaches to Joe and coaches to teammates, it is wide open. And everybody values everybody else's opinions on things. And, man, when you have that going, as a former player, I am buying in, man. I mean, I'm sold, you know, because, wow, they're actually listening to me, you know, and I might have something that I think is important, and they're listening to it, and they're valuing that. That's huge. You guys have done an unbelievable job of that, I think. That's to be commended, no doubt about it.
Thank you. I mean, I think that starts, you know, that's been Zach's MO since he got here. And we've harped on that as part of what it means to be a part of this organization is that the communication is always going to be the most critical. It's verbal communication, it's nonverbal communication. And it's the willingness to communicate, which I think sometimes is easier said than done. But we've fostered an environment, I think, where guys are very comfortable telling you what they think, what their opinions are. And it doesn't mean that every opinion that somebody has is used or granted, right? Or that's not what it means. It just means that guys feel comfortable sharing what they think. And we feel comfortable with the input and feedback we're getting from our players because we trust them and they trust us. And I think that's what you see is a culmination of those things that have gone on over the course of 4 years where guys feel really comfortable about being able to be open and make comments and make suggestions. And on the coaching side too, we feel like we can trust those guys and listen to them because they're the ones out there doing it. And if a guy comes to the sideline and says, "Hey, give me this route, I'm going to get open." Well, chances are you're probably going to get open if we give you that route. So it's a good give and take. It's the way that I think a good team should operate. And a lot of credit goes to Zach for starting that from the time he first got here and really fostering an environment that lends itself to that.
Nothing better than everybody individually and collectively taking ownership. And you mentioned the word trust. bunch of times there. Man, that's what it's all about. I mean, any relationship is built on that. And you guys have it in spades, and it's really good to see. And every team is going to face adversity, whether it's a little bit of a slump or an injuries or whatever the case may be. When you have that type of thing, though, that big intangible of trust and ownership and belief in what doing collectively and individually, I mean, man, that stuff gets you through the dark times for sure.
I think that's the only way that's the difference between good teams and teams that aren't quite good enough in this league is if you got those intangibles working at your back, then you can withstand a lot of things. You know, you can weather storms a lot easier with that environment and that mindset and that trust. And if you don't have it, it tends to fracture your team a little bit, and it's harder to get through those times. And, you know, I think we're very fortunate that that's the kind of guys we have, the character we have in our team. And that's makes the difference, I think, from being a team on the bubble to a team that really can compete for a championship.
So what's the first thing that you'll probably tell your offense when you get ready, not necessarily this week, because like you said, this week it's going to be finding and honing and fine tuning techniques and that sort of yep. thing, maybe ones against ones, working on that sort of thing, just getting better individually and as a group. And then, okay, Labor Day weekend ends, come in, introduce the game plan. What thought about any message, or is it premature yet?
Oh no, I think about that stuff all the time. I've gotten a handful of things that I've thought about, and I'll probably keep them myself for now. Sure. I don't want that sure. one getting out. But yeah, there's definitely things that you think about. What's the messaging going to be to the unit? You know, yeah. Zach obviously takes a holistic approach with the team, but you know, specifically to us, what is our messaging for the start of the season? And you know, one of the things that you're going to have to deal with now, it's going to be different than it was before, is, you know, everyone's looking to knock our ass off. You know, it is a little bit different when you got that underdog mentality. And I still think we have an underdog mentality around here because, you know, people act like we didn't win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl, which is a little bit surprising occasionally. But, you know, you use those things to motivate you. But at the end of the day, no one's surprised at our ability to win games. We have good talent, good players. And so you're going to get just about everything anybody's got every week. And when you're at the top, there is a little bit more. You know, I think there's a little bit extra that you get from teams as opposed to when you're not really in contention for something for real. So, you know, you got to deal with that. You're going to get whatever that little extra is, whether it's a couple more blitzes or a little bit more intensity, and, you know, the crowds are going to be a little more hostile, whatever that is. That's part of trying to defend a title. And, you know, we're trying to defend the AFC title and get a chance to go back to the Super Bowl and finish it off. So that's all part of the messaging. It's just you do have to have a different approach this year than you did last year.
Yeah, the old being the hunted rather than the hunter. I mean, those are much different roles. There's no question about it. Going to be hunted a little bit. There's no doubt. Yep. You know, the other thing that's interesting to me is when the Rams came to town, and Rams have some great players, you know, Cooper Kupp, Ramsey, Aaron Donald first and foremost. And, you know, I'm watching these guys, and I'm like, man, he's got some really good players. And then I hear, you know, members of a broadcast team for the Rams and coaches talking, and it's like, man, they got some really good players. You know, you start to take your own for granted a little bit because you see them all the time. And when you don't see other guys, it's like, oh, boy. But, man, I'm telling you, we got some really good players here in Cincinnati, don't we, Coach?
Yeah, you don't have to tell me that. I'm fully aware of the talent level that we have. And, you know, that's with that comes expectation.
Yep.
And we still have to go out there and do it. And guys still got to play. You know, you can't let it deter you. You know you're talented. You know you can be a good team. But all the things that made us a good team last year are guys being unselfish, guys doing things for each other, being a part of something a little bit bigger than just you and your individual goals. And that can't change. You know, that's still got to be a part of what makes us unique. And I think our players are up to that task, and they haven't let the success affect them in that manner in any way. I think these guys are hungry and ready to go. And we got the talent to be a great offense. And I think that at the end of the day is the expectation. We expect to be a great offense. We expect to go out there and score points, and we expect to go out there to, score more points than their team so we can win. And whatever that may be, sometimes it might be 17-10, sometimes it might be 38-35, who knows? But whatever required of us on offense, we feel like we're capable both talent-wise and schematically to be able to play at a really, really high level.
Coach, it was a hell of a lot of fun watching you guys last year, and I'm excited and full of anticipation about what's going to happen this year and how much fun it's going to be witnessing it all. Thanks so much for your time.
Of course.
Put together a good one for the hated, dreaded, but I guess respected Pittsburgh Steelers. Knock them off, Coach. Yep. Pittsburgh, man.
I know it. It's part
Pittsburgh.
Of it. Can't wait. I'm glad it's the first week.
I'm telling you, Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't have to say anything else. Appreciate you, sir.
All right. You guys have a good one.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
gotta get that body right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.